If you would, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. There's an old saying, those who control the present control the past. Let me repeat that. Those who control the present control the past. Sounds confusing, doesn't it? How in the wide world, if you control the present, can you control the past? Because the present controls what we know about history. Let me give you a little quiz to make it very relevant to you, which is completely off subject. Nonetheless, who am I to stay on subject anyway? The Bill of Rights. They don't teach constitutional law in the United States of America anymore. The Bill of Rights. How many have ever heard of the Bill of Rights?
The first 10 numbers in the Constitution.
All of us that know that are dating ourselves, because if you tell that to kids today, they have no idea what the Bill of Rights. Let me give you another quiz. The Bill of Rights, as Don said, the first 10 amendments. Who gave you the Bill of Rights? True or false? The founding fathers gave you the Bill of Rights.
True.
False. See, that's why they don't teach constitutional law anymore. Those who control the present control the past. If you no longer teach your people their history, you'll destroy those people and they will become manipulated into something that they weren't. Who gave you the Bill of Rights? No. I'm taking 5 off for that answer. It's fine. God, it said, gave you the Bill of Rights. Now, if God gives you something, and it says in our Constitution that the Bill of Rights came from God, who can take away your Bill of Rights? Your legislature. No, they can't. They have no right because God is the only... If God gave you rights, who can take away those rights? Name the 10 Bill of Rights. Name it. Name it. Come on, name the 10. You all know? Name it. Say, what does this have to do with Acts? Well, if we don't know where the church came from, they can make the church into anything now that they want if we don't remember our history. I'm going to show you how that works. Name the Bill of Rights. 10 of them. Which ones? Use your cell phones. I know it says put your cell... No. This is Dave. Take your cell phones out. Put your guns away. Take your cell phones out. Name the Bill of Rights that God gave you. I don't know, Pastor Dave, what God gave me in the 10. The right to freedom of religion, free speech, freedom of the press, the right to bear arms, the right to have privacy, the right against self-incrimination. So what happened to those rights? You found out this week that one congressman found out that his cell phone records were revealed. What are they doing to the Bill of Rights? They're shredding them. God gave you those rights. Now you have a group of leaders in your government that think they can just take away what God gave you. That really makes me mad. Why do I bring that up? Well, it works for the Bible. Why do you think there's the book of Acts? God wants us to know where we came from. How in the wide world did a movement anchored in Judaism and the Old Testament get to be so Gentile? And what does that mean? It means the church owes its existence to what? The Old Testament. Let me show you how this works. You forget your past? Tell me something. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Who said that? Why do we have sin? Tell me, why do we have sin? Oh, Pastor Dave, because we do bad things. Why do we do bad things? Why ask why, Pastor Dave? You're always doing that. Why? What? Remember, the New Testament is anchored to the old. Why do we have sin? And why are we sinners? Who said that? I heard something. The fall of whom? Now listen to me. If you don't go back to history and know that we didn't come from some pre-hominid Australopithecus monkey. Jesus came to undo what the first Adam did. But you see, now today's church removes history of the Old Testament. And then they can tell you all sorts of cockamamie things that aren't anchored in what the Bible says. You see, we need to get back to what history tells us. We're here today because God created the world in 6 solar days. Whoa. Come on, Dave. My science professor told me 65 million years ago, some asteroid hit the Earth and destroyed the dinosaurs. I was just listening to a guy who they're looking for, Makila Mbimbi. Ever heard of Makila Mbimbi? Can you say that 3 times real fast? Yeah, I don't even know if I can say it first time real fast. Makila Mbimbi. In the deepest, darkest parts of Lake Victoria, in the Congo, they have eyewitness accounts of long-necked, huge, dinosaur-like creatures that are in these so isolated places that nobody but the native pygmy populations can even get in there. And the natives describe how this thing has a long neck and has elephant-like footprints, and they've seen the footprints and they've seen the animal. Guess what? You don't know about that, do you? Why don't you think you know about that? If you control what the people know in the present, then you can control what you understand about the past. Dinosaurs still exist, believe it or not. Small populations. Why? Because the Earth isn't billions of years old. It's all been defrauded on you. Why? Do you know what destroyed the church more than anything? Charles Darwin. The point of this all is we need to know the history of the church so that we are not repeating the errors of the past. It's very important that we understand the book of Acts. The church started out very much a Jewish movement of the Messiah. But what have you started seeing in Acts? Total Jewish resistance to Jesus. Just total Jewish resistance to him. And I've often asked myself, why? Well, some will say it's the sovereignty of God, but there has to be some human level reason. What didn't they like about Jesus? Well, I think Jesus was very inclusive in the new covenant. He wanted you. You Gentiles in the new covenant. For God so loved the what? See, the church will forget its mission. We're not to just be to our own little group. We are to seek out the whole what? That's why we have the book of Acts to show you how God was inclusive and sought out the whole world. He sought us all out. Didn't have to be Jewish. God wanted everyone. Guatemala. You name it. Where are you from? For God so loved the world. And that tells us the mission of the church. We're to reach the whole world for the Lord Jesus Christ. See, if we forget the present, if we control the present of what we know about the past, then they can make us think we're just a social club where we get to hear a crazy sermon from a crazy preacher. No, this tells us, and what we're seeing in Acts is this. The Jewish beginnings of the church, the apostles, tried their best after Jesus was killed by the nation to say, hey, reconsider what you've done. Somebody read for me Matthew 21:43. Who will read Matthew 21:43? Go ahead.
Therefore,
taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruit.
Why did Jesus say that? Because the nation rejected him. But now we know from the book of Acts that the disciples did the best they could to get the nation, change your mind. Repent. And what has been the response since we've been preaching through Acts? Forget you. They imprisoned them, jailed them. God breaks them out of jail. And the nation continually says no. How long do you think God should give people? God is patient. He gave the first time 800 years of telling the nation to repent. Did they? Then Jesus came. He will give them 40 years after Jesus came and they killed him to say, change your mind. And Acts tells us, because at the end of Acts, we're going to find out they were more hostile than ever to Jesus. Has anything changed? You see, we need to know, though, our Jewish roots. Because our Jewish roots tells us God created this world, we are sinners fallen, and God sent His only Son to redeem the whole world. Unfortunately, there was a willful, deliberate rebellion against God in the nation that brought forth the Messiah. And 20 years from this point in Acts chapter 12, God says that's enough. That's it. And the whole of Jerusalem and the temple will be devastated like you've never seen in a final judgment of God. So we need to know our roots, because if you can control how we understand the past while you're in the present, you can do horrible things to people if they don't remember what their past is. So we've been seeing that God has over and over again sent the message of repentance. It's been rejected. And by chapter 11, God is causing the Jerusalem church to what? Go down. The Jerusalem church is in poverty. You now know why the Jerusalem church most likely was in poverty. Why? What did they refuse to do? We better never forget our missionary endeavors at our church. God doesn't like it. They refused. They stayed in Jerusalem and Judea and kept saying, please repent. And the people kept, no. Well, there comes a point when God says, guess what? That's enough. There is such a thing as personal responsibility, is there not? Now, God is patient, but God comes to a point where there's personal responsibility, and all they do is defy. And in chapter 11, there's a rise of a new church. Did you know that? Do you know where the church was headquartered for 300 years after the fall of Jerusalem in Acts 11? The Jerusalem church is going into poverty. Do you know where the 300-year church that was the most powerful in all of the Roman Empire was? Well, you don't know that maybe because no preacher taught you that. Antioch. The church, Jerusalem, forget it. As of chapter 12, you can forget it. The Jerusalem church, they became encrusted there, wouldn't go out, wouldn't reach people, kept begging, and the people kept rejecting. And Antioch in chapter 12 will be for the next 300 years the most dynamic church that the Roman Empire ever witnessed. And great, great, well-known church fathers will come from there. Have you ever heard of the name of a church father? Huh, that's interesting. Because preachers don't preach it. How many have ever heard of John Chrysostom? He'll come from Antioch. Antioch will be the third largest city in the Roman Empire. What's the purpose of God planting a church in Gentile Antioch? To do what? To do what the Jerusalem church wasn't doing. To reach For God so loved the... Here's what's starting to happen now. Jesus had warned them. In Acts chapter 12, Jesus had warned them. Jesus said, I'm taking you out of the world, and since you're not a part of this world, the world will what you? By the way, that means that the Israelite nation that rejected Jesus is part of the world. Because in Acts chapter 12, look what it said where we stopped off. Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on those who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. By the way, this would not have come to James as a surprise. If you read John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus told them, boys, they're going to kick you out of the synagogue. And they're going to kill you because they think they're doing God a service by killing you. But you are not of the world. And that meant Jesus was saying that the former people that were God's people are now a part of the world. And they killed James. Now, this is what I asked you with the last time. Previously in Acts 5, we went over the fact that they were all in prison before. And God sent an angel in Acts 5 and got him out. Now tell me, why did God let James be killed? Give me the answer. Why one time rescue him? And why now in Acts 12 does he let James be killed? Give me your answer. I don't have any except that, as Ed said, it was James' time. But this wouldn't have come as a surprise to them. And as they kill James, guess what the original 11 are doing? Oh, please repent. There comes a point where God said, that's enough, gentlemen. Move on and reach the world for Jesus Christ. And he finds out here. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews. Now, what's that called when killing people please you? My wife will know because I study this. Psychopathy. Do you know what psychopathy is? When you no longer can identify with the suffering and pain of people. He was beheaded and the crowd loved it. That's the Middle East. This culture in the Middle East. Jesus needs to reach them because they love beheading people. By the way, you do know it says in Revelation that tribulation saints will be beheaded. Literally. I don't think beheading is going to go away too soon. And it pleased them. Well, wait. Jesus was raised. They've been doing good things. They've been healing people like Jesus. They've been witnessing. And guess what the response of the nation is? Ready? Kill them. How much are you going to take? How much is God going to take of that? Look at verse... He proceeded to arrest Peter. This is called demagoguery, where you will win your crowd by doing something they like. And may God help us if we ever come to the point where we like to see people suffer. Like they did back in that day. Do it again! By the way, remember what I told you that the Holy Spirit does to you when you're born again. What does He do to you? You're not a hard-shelled Baptist. You're a what? You're soft shell. You become merciful, compassionate, loving. That's how the Lord does this with you. I've heard preachers say that those are feminine traits and that a real man of God has to be tough. The Bible tells you that the fruit of the Spirit makes you a loving, gentle hunger for souls to see the gospel. These people want to kill. By the way, who do you think is controlling this desire to kill God's messengers? Who do you think's behind this? The God of this world. See, we've been taken out of this world. And that means the God of this world is going to what? It's going to hate Christians. And he had been seized. They put him in prison. Peter. Rocky. And he delivered him to four squads of soldiers. Now, why do you think he did that? Because if you go back to Acts 5, they got out. He doesn't want that to happen. One squad is four soldiers. So four squads of soldiers is how many soldiers? That's a lot of soldiers. They're with Peter. They're at the door. They're at places where Peter ain't going nowhere. Peter's going to lose his head. Who do you think's behind the killing of the wanting to kill Peter? Come on now. Let's see this as it really is. Satan. Because when you crucify the Lord Jesus Christ, you know who you give yourself over to? Think about it. That's why Jesus said in Luke, "This hour and the power of darkness are yours." Ooh, that's chilling. And this demonic force is controlling these people. They killed James. Now they want more blood. But behind that, you now know who that is. You don't kill Jesus and not give yourself over to Satan. Whether you like it or not. Intending after the Passover to put him before the people. Now remember, at the Passover, people from all over the Mediterranean Roman world who are Jewish fly in on El Al and are there so that they can witness everything in Jerusalem. And he chose Passover to make a public spectacle of Peter to please the people who were out for the blood of Christians. Boy, that's scary. But remember now, we're responsible for what we do. But and by the way, God gets even. Yeah, God's going to get even with this boy. But who's responsible for this? Who's ultimately responsible for such virulent hatred of Jesus' people? The God of this world. So Peter was kept in prison. But look what, and I'm going to leave you with this because I dare not go over. We ran a little bit short today, but I want you to remember this. If you remember only one thing from this sermon, remember, I want to show you a great irony in this in these verses. What was the church doing for Peter? Pray. But the question is, look through these verses, and I'm going to let you go and find out, did the church actually believe what they were praying? That's the thing that's the great irony of us humans. The answer to that, you'll find out, is the church were praying but didn't expect God to do anything. We'll see that.